7 years doing this particular programme. Gentleman you're about to hear from has been appearing with me since my days in Spain. I love him. He's a fantastic journalist, broadcaster. He's a historian and he's an author, and he's a very good author too. Welcome back to the programme. Bristol's finest. It is the one and only Tony Gosling. Welcome back to Jesus, Mary and Holy Saint Joseph. After an intro like that, he's not there. Are you there, son? We'll have to try again. While we try again. Ah, yeah, yeah. I'll call him, you see. Good evening, Mr. Gosling. Are you there? Ah, we have a problem. The station manager would be giving me my P45 now. Tony Gosling, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Richie. Yes, I'm fine.
Good to have you on, my friend. Gave you the biggest build-up you've ever gotten in your life, and then the whole thing fell apart on us. But good to have you back. And thanks for...
Let's blame Skype. We can blame Skype for that.
We'll blame Bill Gates. It's his bloody program, isn't it? Or somebody like him. I've got to ask you this. Look, we're going to get through as many things as we can in the next 30 minutes. I must ask you this straight off the bat. What do you make of the news that the High Court of this country is going to assist Virginia Roberts Giuffre and her legal team in serving Prince Andrew, the Duke of York? What do you make of that, Tony? A lot of people think this is big. What do you think?
Well, I think this is just a smear campaign against Andrew. Andrew, it seems, has had sex with a 17-year-old, which isn't a crime. And nowadays, it looks like, you know, the whole media is in as one with the judicial system in just attacking Andrew, just like they've attacked Julian Assange. Prince Andrew is not really a criminal. He's a very dim guy, but he's in a powerful position, being a daughter of the Queen, and the idea is to just smear him and get him out of the way.
She was underage. She was underage when she alleges they had sex, meaning that if he did have sex with her when she was underage, he did commit a crime. This guy is a lying bastard, T. He says, I have no memory of her. We've got a photograph of the two of them together. I don't have any sympathy for him.
Look, there's also a very famous photograph of her with her arm round him being all lovey-dovey and friendly. It's exactly like Assange. You had the same thing with the smears against Assange over in Sweden, with the woman at the time who apparently he'd raped, tweeting, "I just had a night with the coolest guy on the planet." You know, so I think you just. I'm not one that goes with the flow.
I look at the
evidence, and the evidence is that Andrew is just being smeared. They want him out of the way. They want, you know, exactly as has happened to Harry, but in a different way. These people are being cleared out of the way because we're getting to the point where the Queen may die, the royal succession, and Charles wants everybody who might speak up in public against him to be smeared and have their characters assassinated.
Let's come back to that. Hang on. Let me jump in.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he's a liar. We saw the Emily Maitlis interview. He also consorted with a known paedophile. His sympathies lay with a paedophile in Jeffrey Epstein. This is a dark character here now, this guy. I'm not saying he's an especially important guy, but he's a lying bastard. Yeah. The Emily Maitlis interview was a disgrace. He definitely met Virginia Roberts Giuffre.
He is important. He is important because he's a son of the Queen. And he's somebody who would have a say over, in certainly in public, about whether Charles is suitable to take over or not. But look, I mean, the guy's dim. The Emily Maitlis, I would say it's just basically a honey trap. Very simple honey trap. That's what's happened. He's not a paedophile, although he gets accused of being so.
We don't know that.
Paul.
We don't know he's not a paedophile. We don't know, Tony. This is why these people want to speak with him.
We don't know if anybody is,
no,
do we?
No.
But the evidence is of Virginia Roberts and him. It's nothing to do with paedophilia. This is a young girl within the age of consent having sex with Prince Andrew. And the attempt here is to just character assassinate the guy. Personally, I don't think there's much point because he's incredibly dim. He's trying to lie his way out of it, but he's fallen straight into a honey trap man trap.
Let's go back to what you said about the future King of England, who many of my listeners and your followers and supporters, which are legion, my friend, you're one of the, over the 7 years I've done this, you are one of the most requested guests. I can't think why you're such a curmudgeonly bollocks at the back of it all. But tell me this, most people believe that this guy Charles is darkly sinister, and he's really, he's got a lot to do with the what some people call the New World Order agenda. Is that what you're hinting at? That this, right?
Definitely. Okay, 100%. He is the main man behind the whole climate stuff, and he has been ever since the Rio Earth Summit. So if you have a look at these the events that go on with the climate, also with the pro-Zionist, the propping up, the Zionist myth, this idea that, oh, we've got to get all these Jewish people together and God is on their side and they can do no wrong, however many Palestinians they kill. Charles is absolutely at the center of all that stuff. Not only that, he was, his wife was murdered. I don't think we can say that he did it, but he certainly would have given a nod and a wink to make sure it took place, because he hated the fact that the public and the press actually loved her far more than him. You know, it's the last thing that somebody that he like he wants. So the other thing is, I interview every once in a while, maybe once a year, this guy Tim Cohen in the States.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
And Tim has done a book called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. The reason I give him credibility is because he has pinned down about 7 or 8 different biblical references that say that Prince Charles is the man of perdition, you know. And it's not for me to decide, but if someone is actually saying the Bible says this and he's linking up various verses right across the Bible, particularly to do with Prince Charles's name, the number calculating to the 666, his heraldic badge, which has also got all these symbols on it that are actually there in the Book of Revelation, I think it's interesting because,
it is.
You know, obviously the Brits have got an important part in the world. And the idea that, you know, Charles, as everybody knows, is not a Christian, he's going to be overturning the Christian religion. He couldn't possibly be the head of the Church of England because he doesn't believe in any of it.
Where's the evidence? Hang on, my great friend. Where's the evidence that this guy wants to overturn the Christian religion? I've never heard him say anything like that.
Well, he wants a new religion which is based on all religions. So he said he's the defender of faiths, not the defender of the faith. So he couldn't possibly be the head of the Church of England. So he's going to, you know, I don't think it's possible for him to have, for example, a Christian coronation. How could he be when he's made it clear that he's not a Christian? Anyway, so, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why. I mean, I'm particularly through all the Diana stuff I've been researching over the years. This guy, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. He'll say anything. And yet, actually, at the end of the day, he's murdered his wife. I mean, that's a controversial thing to say, I know, but I believe that he got Diana out of the way, mainly because of the landmines business, but also because he didn't want his sons to have a Muslim half-brother or stepfather. He didn't want the Muslims in on that at all. And so Diana just was used to produce some children, and then she was just dispatched.
Can I come in on that? Let me come in on that. A couple of things. A lot of people believe that the Dodie Diana thing was a myth, that there wasn't any real serious relationship there, number one.
Hang on, you
can come back in. You've had a good say now. You can come back in and you can go back to that again. A lot of people say that. You mentioned, look, I know why you think Charles was involved. The last thing in the world I would ever do is tell you you're wrong, because I don't know that you're wrong. But there are many other theories. You mentioned the landmines. You've got what we call the, you know, the military-industrial complex. There were many, many, many corporations that would have been happy to see Diana dead as well. Her enemies, the list of her enemies was a very long one indeed. These are theories. There isn't any proof that Charlie had anything to do with her murder. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I think you're probably right. The proof is not there. But if you go to the inquest, it's absolutely clear unlawful killing was the verdict. It wasn't an accident.
That's right.
She was unlawfully killed. And you have to look at who had the motive to do that. If you go to John Morgan's book, so I'm not sure if you got a chance to interview him, Richie, before he died.
No.
He makes it absolutely, because he had all of the evidence from the French police investigation, the Paget report, the coroner's report, the actual transcript of the whole of the coroner's inquest, which took up, wasn't it about 4 different coroners before they found one that would actually do that inquest? And then the Scotland Yard police reports, he had access to a whole lot. And he showed that she died, she was murdered in the ambulance on the way to hospital. The ambulance stopped, the ambulance was seen to rock from side to side, etc. I don't think
that,
the other thing, important thing to to note about this. A Bilderberger, Sherard Cowper-Coles, it's spelled Cooper-Coles, but it's pronounced Cowper-Coles. He was brought over to take over the MI6 Paris station, the France station, just a few weeks before the Diana assassination. And it's almost certain that, he was brought over to do that job. He then went on to become, I think it was one of the directors of HSBC. He was brought into BAE Systems as well. So, they brought someone over, just a dispatcher. They used the secret state, which Charles, by the way, I mean, this is something I discovered recently. I didn't know from the testimony from the two director generals of the BBC that he had been using the security services, MI5 and GCHQ, to spy on Diana right through their breakup in order to make sure he stayed one step ahead during the divorce proceedings, which is just a complete
abuse of outrageous power. Outrageous, yeah, absolutely. Look, I have one more thing to say about Andrew, and you can come back on it, and then I want to talk about Shamima Begum, because this is very interesting stuff. And fair play to you, that article you did a couple of years ago on her situation, absolutely bang on the money. We'll talk about that in a moment. Look, we know that this guy Andrew was hanging out with Epstein at a time when Epstein was abusing underage girls. I think you're giving him, I'm talking about Paedophile Island now, I think you're giving Andrew a pass there, to be honest. And I'm surprised that you, I'm not criticising you for it, I'm surprised that you're giving him a pass. This, I look at Andrew, and if I had to put my last fiver, I would say he's up to his neck in, look, I shouldn't make accusations against him that I can't prove. What I'm saying is, he hung out with a guy that he knew was destroying the lives of underage girls. Who does that? Who hangs out with people like that? Back to you.
Well, someone that's entrapped, and I think that's quite clear, he was entrapped. Look, I actually think, I completely sympathise with anyone but you know what? The elite know that we want somebody who's in some sort of position of authority, part of the establishment, every once in a while to just bash them. And what they'll do is they'll find somebody who's innocuous like Andrew. And if you looked at that Emily Maitlis interview, you see he could hardly harm a fly. The guy is very dim, basically. He's certainly not part of some massive conspiracy. He's just hardly even there. But to be able to bash these people is what they love to give us. They love to give us punch balls and punch bags. And Andrew's just simply the latest one, I think. And it's incredible, isn't it, to see all these authorities and the media around the world are going along with this, even though, like Assange, he hasn't actually, it looks on the surface of it, broken British law at all.
Now, give us a 20-second answer to this question. If you were right then, and Charles is what we think Charles is, and if he wants to push these people out of the way, people like his son, the Duke of Sussex, and if he wants to push Andrew out of the way, if you're right, well, Andrew is scuppered then, isn't he? He's going to end up in court, and he's going to end up with some sort of a black mark against his name.
Well, quite possibly, yes. Obviously the royals are very powerful when it comes to the courts. The Crown Prosecution Service isn't called that for no reason. His history, he's been character assassinated, and I think he just needs some decent advice on how to deal with this, because, I think, just like Princess Anne and other members of the royal family, these people know they've got to keep their heads down, otherwise they'll get chopped off. These days they don't do it like the princes in the tower, or actually very rarely things that happen like happened to Diana. Most of the time they're just character assassinated in the press, and that's what's happened to him, I think.
Very, very interesting stuff. Tony Gosling, the producer, the co-presenter of the Brilliant Politics Show out of Bristol, author, historian, a great guy, thisweek.org.uk. Follow Tony on Twitter as well. Tell me this now. I was out doing a few things this morning, went for me run, came back, was messing around with my website, and I saw social media going mad because Good Morning Britain interviewed Shamima Begum, yes, the ISIS bride, the girl who absconded from the country and went to Syria. No better man than you to talk about this, because you've covered this extensively. And she was on there, and she looked very innocent, lovely long hair, and I'm sorry, and I want to come back. For listeners who don't know, when Sajid Javid was the Home Secretary, he said she'll never be allowed back into the country. She wants to come back to help fight terrorism in the UK and the Prevent strategy and all of that stuff. Give us the reality, Tony. What's going on here?
Okay, well, this was an amazing little coincidence that happened whilst we were live on air. Martin Summers and I discussing, this is about 3 years ago, this woman, Shamima Begum, because she'd come up in a Turkish article, which I think had only been published in one or two articles anywhere in English, saying that this woman, Shamima Begum, they had found in Turkey a Canadian intelligence officer who'd been arrested for recruiting her and her two friends from Bethnal Green on Facebook and getting them flown over to Istanbul and then escorting them through the country to southern Turkey to join ISIS. And then I suddenly realised, well, hang on a minute, this is the same girl, Shamima Begum, schoolgirl, who we'd seen stories of a few months previously, has disappeared and believed abducted to join ISIS. We were just putting two and two together, really, from a UK, I think it was Evening Standard article, about the London schoolgirls, to making sure, hang on a minute, these are the same kids that turned up in Turkey and that this guy's now been arrested. So, of course, all the information published in Turkey about who this person was, and I don't think, actually, by the way, the police that arrested this guy did very well, because then I think they, I'm not absolutely sure about the details of this, Richie, but I think they were sanctioned and told to shut up. But the thing is, the story had got out. So what happened with Shamima and her two schoolgirl friends in Bethnal Green was they were recruited on Facebook by this Canadian intelligence officer. Well, he wasn't an officer, he was an agent. And the reason, that the way that they get people to do things like this is the Canadians had offered this guy, this agent, this recruiter, a Canadian passport. And obviously they were paying him plus expenses for anyone that he could recruit. And so this is the real sting in the tail of the Shamima Begum story, is that she fell for a Western intelligence recruitment effort that was being done via Facebook. And this, I think, is the most important aspect. Now, the Turkish police actually got this guy's laptop, and there's a whole report on what they found on the laptop, which was that there were hundreds of kids from around the world, quite a lot from the UK, that this guy and his friend had been recruiting, and they had photographs and all the records in Turkey of them.
You did a brilliant job on this. I'm going to share, if I can find a way to share the article, I might put it on my website later on. You dissected this. What was this Canadian secret agent doing this for? What was the purpose of recruiting all of these children from around the world? Why was he taking them to Syria?
Well, two reasons. One is they were paying him, the Canadian Intelligence Service. Oh, and by the way, when he got these girls, these three girls, down to southern Turkey, he handed them over to a Brit who would be MI6 agent to take them, actually, the last step of the journey to join ISIS in Syria. The two reasons were, the main reason is the bribe, is the Canadian passport. Everybody in that part of the world wants to have citizenship of a Western country so they can get out of the war zone, they can get themselves a decent job and get into the clear. That's the main way they recruit these people. And secondly, of course, the guy's being paid a reasonably handsome sum for every single kid he can recruit. But of course, the key to all this is that ISIS is nothing to do with Islam or Iran or anything like that. It's just the Western powers doing what they've been doing ever since the 1980s in Afghanistan under Operation Cyclone, which is running Islamist terrorism. You know, they take the money from Saudi Arabia too, and this whole kind of fake version of Islam where you've got to pick up a gun and, yeah, you know, yeah, start, you know, a bit like the Puritans in the English Civil War, which you Irish found, you know, were a bit of a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what's going on with these radical Islamists, all run from Western intelligence, paid for, by the way, through as Scott, I can't remember his second name, the former psychological warfare officer in the US discovered, through Union Bank of Switzerland. That's where they're being paid through.
Why doesn't Begum speak about this then, given the opportunity to speak live on breakfast television this morning to a fairly sizable audience? Why doesn't Begum say, hey guys, you know what's going on here? Go on.
Well, she wants her British citizenship back. Maybe once she gets back here, and of course this is why they don't want her back here, is she can start talking about this stuff. But at the moment, they're blocking her citizenship. They're saying, oh, no, we can't have her back in the UK. And she realises, I think, that she's got to put some pressure on to get her citizenship back. Then maybe we'll hear about this. But she may not know who recruited her. She's probably read this article. In fact, I remember years ago when there was that poor Muslim elderly guy was killed in Birmingham on his way to the mosque by a load of right-wing nutcases. And I think the guy was brought over from Poland, or was it Ukraine, and he was a far-right nutcase. I did an article about that for the Russia Today when I had a column on there a few years ago. And I got contacted by his daughter and saying, Tony, you have done by far the best article on what happened to my dad. And that was amazing. I was really appreciating that coming from his daughter, who was murdered in Birmingham. So a lot of this stuff stays under the radar. If you know exactly what you're looking for, you might find it. But the mainstream press just, as usual, turn a total blind eye to the facts.
Yeah, I mean, you only have to look at what went on in Manchester. You know, this guy, Abedi. And we were able to find out through speaking to people like David Shaler. Now, for some people, David has been discredited because of, you know, some of his bizarre behaviour over the years. But, his behaviour has been bizarre. But I every time I've interviewed David Shaler, I found him to be lucid, thoughtful, and ready with the facts. And I've always enjoyed speaking to him. It's about time I got him back on. But David blew the whistle on Ramadan Abedi being funded by UK intelligence agencies to try and overthrow Gaddafi. And here you have this guy. His son, then, is supposed to have carried out the Manchester Arena bombing, which I don't believe. I don't think a single newspaper reported that in this country. Not one. You're right, Tony. You're right. It's staggering. So Begum might not even be aware of what was going on. What do you say to people who believe that Begum is dangerous, even if she has been, you know, brainwashed, even if she has been the victim of a big sting? The fact is, she's seen all this stuff out there. She's damaged goods. You know, she believes in it at the beginning. We shouldn't have anything to do with her. What do you say to those people?
Well, look, if she comes back to the UK, she's going to be a prime witness to the Western Intelligence Service's complicity in the creation of these Islamist terror groups like ISIS, etc. She will be the evidence. And, I mean, the idea that this, you know, where she is now, I guess she's in her early 20s now, you know, that she's going to be some sort of dangerous terrorist is beyond a joke. She is dangerous in the same way as I am and Martin Summers is. And you are, because we're pointing out that Islamist terrorism, let me get that right, is largely a creation of the West Saudi Arabian funding.
Yes, it is.
You know, that it's actually a fake, rather like the attempt to smear the Jews in the run-up to the Second World War.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, what's going on with those guys.
Really good. Tony Gosling is our guest. We've got Tony for 10 more minutes, live from Bristol. Lovely sound off of that mobile phone, T. Sometimes it's good to go the old-fashioned way, you know. There's nothing wrong with it. You're sounding great there. Now, I opened up my monologue today saying that it doesn't matter if Wurzel Gummidge is foreign secretary, because guys like you educated me many years ago as to think tanks, the round table groups, the Bilderbergers.
Yep.
These people are window dressers. But you think the Dominic Raab dismissal as foreign secretary is significant. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's very important, actually, because it's, you know, if you have been paying attention over the last year or so, you'll have seen that Raab has rubbed up against Boris Johnson in several times, very importantly, to do with the British relationship with Russia. Now, the most important probably was a few months ago, I don't know if you remember, where the Russians brought 100,000 troops up to the border with Ukraine.
And
the BBC made a big fuss about this.
Yeah.
They said, the Russians are threatening Ukraine. They weren't. They were reacting to threats from Ukraine to invade Russia. Now, if the Ukrainians are starting to say, you know, we're going to take bits of Russia back, you know, from us, of course the Russians are going to do that. And so it was, as the BBC usually do and the rest of them, is they omit to talk about the reasons. You know, they did the same with the strikes. They talk about the results of the strike, but they'd never mentioned the reasons for the strike in the first place. This is the way the treacherous mainstream press lie to us. But anyway, so we had that. We also had, just before the Belarus elections, Putin talked about an assassination attempt on President Lukashenko in Belarus. Then we had also the Crimea incident, which was more recently, with HMS Defender, the British destroyer, going into Crimean waters and basically challenging the referendum where 95% of the population said we're not interested in being part of Kiev and Ukraine. Of course, they're all Russian speakers. And the Ukrainian government had said we're going to ban Russian. So it hardly surprising that the Crimeans decided to split with Kiev. And so on all these things, particularly the idea that NATO and the British army might support some sort of conflict between Ukraine and Russia, so be on the Ukrainian side. Raab was against that. He spoke out very subtly, but less subtly when it came to that incident with the HMS Defender in Crimea.
That's brilliant work.
He was saying it was a stupid provocation, be a silly provocation. And those are the sorts of things that get foreign secretaries sacked, when you know the deep state is running the show, and if you're a foreign secretary, you've got to sort of just sit down and do as you're told.
He went off the reservation, didn't he? He went off the reservation.
Well,
and you know what, speaking of that
thing, for himself.
Well, that's very interesting.
You know what, Richie? He was acting in the British national interest. Let's not do something which is going to make Britain look stupid around the world. And of course, the Bilderbergers and the deep state do not like people talking like that. Therefore, he's got to go. He wouldn't toe the line with no independent thought is allowed. And Boris Johnson is presiding over this government now, where actually, you know, you just got to do as you're told. He doesn't want ministers that've got any experience or intelligence. He wants a load of pliable stooges, imbeciles like the education secretary, who doesn't even know the difference between one footballer and another.
No.
And when you listen to these
two different sports
nowadays, these ministers talk nowadays, they sound like they haven't got a clue what they're talking about.
No, they don't have a clue.
But that's exactly what they want, a completely useless, hopeless government. And actually, it's an amazing thing to say, but it's even making Keir Starmer look vaguely intelligent, the way that this lot are behaving.
Fantastic. I'd love to be back in the mainstream media, and I'd love to be covering the Foreign Office. I would love to be travelling around the world with Liz Truss, because a dizzier bitch has never walked the face of the earth than Liz Truss. Well, I don't care. Call me a misogynist. I don't care. What an idiot.
This is perfect. You know, this is perfect for them, isn't it? It's like having a Joe Biden in charge. You know, you just got to pull the strings and the mouth opens and says whatever you want them to say. And it's not even a pretense of a brain cell involved.
No. We're going to go back briefly to Andrew. If you might have better things to do with your own journalism, but on my website there is a comment live page, and people comment live during the program. And as usual, the comments are very positive. People are enjoying listening to you. But Denise and Stephen want to take you up on Prince Andrew. I'm obviously going to give you the final word. Stephen says, Tony, on this one is wrong in my opinion. Charles hangs around Savile, Britain's worst pedo, while Andrew has Epstein, America's worst. There's no smoke without fire. These people are filth through and through, says Stephen. Now,
yeah. Well, the thing is, Andrew was dim enough to be lured into that little honey trap. You know, actually, I don't think Charles is probably going to be doing that. But I wouldn't mind, if you don't mind, just talking about, my friend Manfred, who's just passed away.
Well, just before you do that, and this is important, yes, thanks. I'd written that down, actually, mate. But before we do that, I know plenty of dim people. And there are people who think I'm pretty dim. There are people who would say that I'm dim. I know a lot of dim people that would be repulsed by the thoughts of trafficking girls and abusing young girls. I don't think dim has got anything to do with it. If you want the absolutely bloody final word on that, you can have it now, and then we'll have a quick chat about Manfred.
Yeah, well, we can agree on dimness, you know, definitely dim. So this guy, Manfred Petrich, who's just passed away, I mean, very shockingly, very quickly, for me, Richie, was one of the greatest guests I ever had. I knew anything to do with Russia, the Middle East. He actually lived in Abkhazia, which is just north of Georgia on the coast of the Black Sea. He'd moved there, completely disillusioned with the West, into a sort of Russian sphere of influence country, which was a genuine independent place. And he bought an amazing place to stay out of there. But he was brought up as actually born in Argentina, and his father got him a job as a Swiss banker. So he spent most of his life doing things like financing railway projects, making a lot of money, flying around the world. And he eventually decided, aged about 45, 50, that he'd had enough of the West, because he rumbled the whole business of 9/11. He tried to get some of the Swiss politicians to take notice. None of them would. And so he just got completely disillusioned with the West and decided, right, I'm going to go over to live in Abkhazia. And he did what I think is one of the most devastating investigations into the Bilderbergers. I mean, you know, I looked at this stuff and thought, this is just incredible. It was really looking at the initial people who were at the first Bilderberg conferences representing the Germans. And what he discovered was that those Germans were largely actually secret ex-Nazis. He traced some of their roles. For example, Dr. Kurt George Kiesinger, K-I-E-S-I-N-G-E-R, he was at the first Bilderberg conference, but it turned out he'd been in the Nazi Party right the way up to and through the war from 1933. He was deputy head of broadcasting at von Ribbentrop's foreign ministry, and then at 1957, he turns up at the Bilderberg conference. So when you talk about head of broadcasting from 1940 to 45, he's the master of Nazi propaganda, right? But there he is at the Bilderberg conference a few years later. So, you know, he did an amazing job on this, and I'm going to be repeating some of the last interviews I did with him. But he was clear about COVID, Richie, and this is, I suppose, the rub to all of this. He talked about it as the Bilderbergers' work, and various of us have been tracking down the links of all the key people around the world involved in the implementation of the lockdowns and, for example, the blocking of the perfectly good treatment for COVID patients.
There are
over 50 of them that WikiSpooks has compiled a whole list on there on the Bilderberg 2021 page. Over 50 of these people around the world are participants over the last decade or so in those Bilderberg conferences. So he's right. He was right. Manfred was right. This is a Bilderberg operation. But the other thing he said, Richie, is it's a global fascist coup. And he linked all of this back to the plans from the Nazis after World War II to use economy and control of the media to bring about a Fourth Reich. And he was absolutely clear about that. So I'll be doing another tribute. I did one last week, but I'll be doing another one on this Friday's show to the work of Manfred Petrich, who I think is a absolute unsung. I first met him at the 2016 Bilderberg conference in Dresden, and we just spent 4 or 5 hours comparing notes. I realised this guy's been on a parallel track with me researching these Nazis for many years. And of course he, I think, was a better source than me, because he was working in the financial system alongside loads of Germans, some of whom probably families of ex-Nazis, etc., in Switzerland, and he knew the language. He blogged at the All Smokers Smoke and Mirrors blog in German. So he was informing the German population in a similar way to I've tried over the years to inform the British, the English-speaking population about what the Bilderbergers are and what they've been up to. And now, of course, they have disappeared, supposedly. They don't meet any more Bilderberg. That's because they're now in charge. Their job is done. They've got the people into the places they needed to, and they're now doing their devilish work.
Tony, brilliant tribute to Manfred Petrich. Thanks for that. Before you go, 15 seconds, where can people who haven't heard your brilliant radio show, where can they hear it and when? Give it to us quick.
Yeah, well, the best place to get the stuff on the deals between the Nazis and the Allies at the end of the Second World War is this book I published back a couple of months ago, which you can get in hardback or a download of the PDF. That's called The Traitors of Arnhem, and that is my own absolute work, and it's the fruit of probably 25 years of research into the Bilderbergs, and you can see there the Fourth Reich. That's what it is. That's what we're living in now, an economic empire built on the loot of occupied Europe during the Second World War and all the machinations and control of politics and the media that have happened ever since. So that's The Traitors of Arnhem. But I've also got this other thing out, which I think for many of your listeners is more of a rounded book. It's not my work. It's an anthology of a whole load of other, well, it's basically ever since the English Civil War and Cromwell, remember him, it's a load of extracts of secret government, basically the parallel government, what it's been up to for the last 350 years. So that is a longer book. So the first one, The Traitors of Arnhem, is 15 quid. And the second one is called The Siege of Heaven Reader. That was also brought out in April, a paperback and a download. But obviously the paperback's much nicer to have. And that is 20 quid for that, and it's a 350-page. I mean, it's a sort of coffee table thing you can dip into, really, and just see how this world really works. At the end of the day, the power behind the scenes is the deep state. It is these Bilderberg characters now in a very, very powerful position, what with control not only of, you know, NATO and all its weapons, its nuclear weapons, but also the mass media, too, and we've seen what they've been up to with the deaths of something like 60,000 people just here in Britain through preventing treatment with chloroquine, ivermectin. 60,000 people
could
dead,
have been avoided.
And you're clapping the NHS, Richie.
It's madness, Tony. Thanks for today. We'll obviously speak again real soon. The Traitors of Arnhem, Tony Gosling, available eBay, Amazon, thisweek.org.uk, bilderberg.org is a brilliant resource too. Tony, Godspeed. Thanks for coming back. Speak soon.
God bless, Richie, and all your listeners.
You too, buddy. Bye for now. Tony Gosling on the Richie Allen Radio Show this Wednesday, the 15th of September 2021. Love to have Tony on the programme. Great guy.